Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you love my wife better than me? Come on now. Come and help me out. Come on. Yes, say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love it when she speaks because it makes her happy and it makes me happy. Because happy wife, happy life. Amen. But also what she says whenever she speaks. She speaks prophetically. She speaks from the Spirit. She does. Because she is God. And I trust her gift. And I believe that we're in a good place. I believe God's doing some great stuff in this church. And we've come from a long way back. We've come from a place where we had very, very small beginnings, very simple beginnings. And those beginnings were really just God using people like us, normal people, to reach out to other people and tell them about his grace and about what he can do in their lives. And that's how Victory Outreach churches traditionally have started. You just get a couple of little seeds, a couple of little nuts, amen, and throw them in a soil somewhere and then watch them struggle to grow and try and break through the surface. And it was like getting a little kid next who can't swim next to a big swimming pool and just kicking them in. And then watching them struggle and hoping that they're going to survive. That's how it used to be. Because this ministry, Victory Outreach, has only been around 45, 46, 47 years. It's not been around long in comparison with many, many other ministries. And it was the reason why it was begun is because there was a group of people, a whole group of people, and there still are, that are really outcasts. They're really put aside. No one thinks they can change. And they're inner city people. I've even had one person talk to me lately. They said, you know, a lot of the people you minister to are the underclass of society, aren't they? I was like, underclass? He said, yeah, well, they're not even working class, are they? They can't even be termed as working class because some of them don't work, do they? They've never worked. I was like, I love you, man, because the Bible tells me to. Amen. And I wanted to give him the right hand of fellowship. Because I don't think of you guys as underclass. In fact, even when we began and we just started reaching out to drug addicts and, you know, lunatics and bringing them in, we would have drug addicts and lunatics that would come into the church of all different stripe and all different description. And that's how it began. And God began to grow a group of people. But understand this. Please understand this. This is going to do you very, very well for the next years of your life, right, in ministry. Understand this. Whatever it is that you're ever doing for God is not about what you're doing for God. It's about what God's doing for you. So whatever it is that you're doing, whatever you're involved in, wherever you're going, whatever ministry you're doing, at the end of the day, God is not going to commend you for the results of the ministry. He's not going to say to you, well done for being so intelligent. Well done, you know, I'm really grateful for your education. Well done, you've done fantastic, you were shrewd with money. Well done, you know, all that stuff. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You actually took what I gave you and put it to work. And it was the faithfulness. It's the faithfulness. It's the faithfulness that God is looking for in people. The results are down to him. The results are never ours to be able to take any credit for. All of the results of everything that we do is all to his glory. He's the one that's bringing it about. He's the one that brings it to pass. We can't take any credit for it whatsoever. We're just unprofitable servants that were just in the right place at the right time. We received the grace of God. We didn't deserve it. How many of you deserve to get saved? None of us deserve to get saved. We were messed up, broke, beat up, lost, full of it. And then he came. He did something miraculous in our lives. And then he says, I want you to go and do this. And I'm going to give you this. And I want you to go and do it. And when you do it, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for people that will be faithful to trust him for who he is, to believe that he is who he is, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who look for him, who love him, who want to become more like him. And then when you just do that, then God is blessed. And all the results, all this stuff, it's just a byproduct of all that stuff. So God, whenever you're doing anything, you have to ask yourself, whether it's good or bad or ugly, whatever it is that you're going through, God, what are you doing in me? And let me tell you, the 10 years since we've been pastors of this church, God has done so much in us. that I don't even recognize myself when I look inside myself anymore. Amen. I'm a different man, and it's because he has done stuff in me. And then everything that he does in me, you see the outworkings of it around me. And that's what he wants to do with us. Are you with me? And when we first began, we began with, you know, simple people. But what happens is, God is a God of progression. Come on, turn around and tell someone, God is a God of progression. God is a God of progress. He takes a seed and he causes it to grow into a tree, right? He takes a little seed, a little wiggly thing, and he puts it into an egg. Lets it, you know, he works it all out and it goes into an egg, and then boom. So that woke someone up, hallelujah. And then 9 months later, something comes out that's alive. And then, you know, 20 years later, they're growing up, hopefully. 30 years later, you know, something different's changed. 45 years later, they're just coming into their prime. Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what age I am then. Huh? But he's a God of progress. And he wants to take us further. He doesn't want us to just camp out where we're at. He doesn't want us to be a load of 12-year-olds with grey hair. Come on now. He don't want us to be a load of big, fat, unfit 7-year-olds walking about. Watching the telly, click, 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 click. Mom, change me, but. He don't want that. Spiritually, sometimes that's how we can be. Emotionally, that's sometimes how we can be. But how many of you know God is a God of progress? And he wants us to grow up from how we grew up. And sometimes we have excuses. Well, I was dropped on my head when I was a baby. Well, I'm black. Well, I'm white. Well, I'm underclass. Well, I'm upper class. Well, whatever the excuse, everyone's got one. It don't matter what color they are, what background they are, what their history was. Everyone's got an excuse. How many of you have had some excuses? Come on now. Right? And we can always fall back on that excuse as to why we don't progress. But God don't want us to fall back on excuses as to why we don't progress. He just wants us to trust him that he can take us further. How many of you want to go further? How many of you want to see a better destiny than you had history? Because I want to tell you today that tomorrow don't have to look like yesterday. Because God is a God of progress. The mistakes we made yesterday, our history can become a testimony that is going to give him glory and is going to help someone else either not to make the same mistake or to do the same thing and get the same result, which is being blessed by God. Are you with me? And God wants us to know that we're a people of progress because he is a God of progress. And so what happened was, and I started to catch this early on in the ministry, and not every victory outreach is the same, because you get good victory outreaches around the world, you get bad victory outreaches around the world, just as you get good people and bad people. You know, you get good this church, good Baptist church, good bad Baptist church, good Elim church, bad Elim church, whatever. It's just that most of us are called Victory Outreach, right? But I wanted this to be a good church. And so what I wanted to see was, I wanted to see anyone could come into this church and find someone they could connect with. I wanted to see it so that it was multicolored, multicultural. I wanted to see it so that you could have people in the homes there. I want to testify. Jesus changed my life. I was a heroin addict. I was messed up from the chest up, beat up from the feet up, wrecked up from the neck up, busted, disgusted, couldn't be trusted. Ah. Right? I'm just a nobody who wants to tell everybody about somebody who can change anybody. Ah. Right? All that stuff. I wanted to see that, but I also had a vision that you would have someone that the world considered to be a nutter being able to be in the same Bible study as a psychiatrist. Someone that the world said, you're going to die of that hepatitis, your liver's going to fail, your addiction's going to kill you, being in the same church as a doctor. I wanted to see someone that never ever worked in their life being in the same church as a business owner.
I wanted to see people that run away from school and play truant, and they used to send the catchers out after them, being in the same place as teachers with master's degrees and PhDs and, you know, all these other different titles, that anyone could come into this place. And it doesn't matter about all of that. It matters about what you're becoming in Christ. And so we began to pray, God, bring in people. And God would bring in the hardest people. And how many of you know sometimes the hardest people are the ones that have never been on drugs? Some of the people that come in, I'm like, why were you never on drugs? Man, go on drugs now, please. You're like, pfft. But God will bring them in. And everyone would mix up. And throughout it all, I don't know if you've realized by now, but I believe in a God of progress, and I'm a progressive pastor. I'm not progressive where the Word of God comes in. We don't have to make the Word of God different than it is. How many of you know the blood of Jesus Christ is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago? Amen. The Word of God is as powerful now as it has ever been. We don't have to change the Word of God. You don't have to modernize the cross of Calvary. You don't have to put it in a different setting. The cross is the cross. Jesus died, nailed to a cross. Amen. You don't have to change that. So I'm not progressive where that comes in. I'm very traditional. But when it comes to growth, when it comes to vision, when it comes to us pressing in, when it comes to us enlarging, expanding, I'm very progressive. And how many of you was with us in Sugden Sports Centre? Let me see your hands. There was a few of you, man. Look, the old and the bold. Hallelujah. Amen. And we was in a little sports centre, right, in Manchester. And you've heard the story, but I'll take you back there. Amen. When we'd be there, and it was just a bare room. We'd have the kids in one room, we'd have a bare room. And I remember the first keyboard we ever got. I remember the first speakers we ever got. And I used to make a big thing of everything. We got some new speakers. Ah, look how God's blessed us. Ah, you're a people of promise, a people of favor. Ah, you just got a speaker. You know what I mean? I remember when we got a new mic. We got a new mic. Look, God's so good. Ah, come on. Dong, 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 dong. Where's revival in the church today? We got a new mic. Right? But it was progress. We was going forward. And then we could have stayed there. We started filling the place a little bit. We started getting different people come in. We started seeing that multicolored, multicultural vision come to pass. Martina came. Professional. Psychiatrist, psychologist, cognitive therapist. In the making. Right? Plenty of material. I think she got for her thesis just looking at us. There were all sorts of material. Right? People started coming in. We could have stayed there. But how many of you know, God will always get you to move on. You know how he got us to move on from that little sports centre? One day we got there, and the door was in a different place. They'd built a wall, and we had to go to a different place. We're like, what's happening here? What are you doing with our church? Well, it's not your church. This is a public sports centre. We can do what we like. Yeah, but this is our church. Now we had to come in through the gym. Right, before we had this nice little area, we just come in, do our little church thing, have a bit of fellowship. Now we've got to come into the gym. So now everyone's in there, come on, let's lift up our hands. And outside is boom, boom, ding, boom, 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 boom. People on the treadmill. You know what I mean? You'd have all this mad music playing. People pumping. Thongs and everything, you know what I mean? Leggings. You got to come in and worship the Lord, and outside everyone's going, e-on-on. So God was like, you know, I'm like, God, I think you want us to move. I think that's a sign. God wants us to move. This ain't the promised land no more. Are you with me? Ain't no point being comfortable in this place. God's moved out. Amen. The devil's moved in. We're in lycra. So then I sent out the spies. Sent out the spies. Go and find us somewhere to have church. Right? And they came back with all these reports. I remember we went to look at this little school up near Clayton somewhere. My goodness. Everyone's like, yeah, it could work. It's cheap, yeah. It's like, it's full of kids' stuff, man. It's mangled. It's like, oh. We had to look at another building. Someone else took it. We had to look at another building. Oh, no, we can't have church in there. Next thing, church is in there. Every door's shut. So then they came back and they said, well, Pastor, we found a hotel. The Novotel Hotel on Portland Street. We can have the function suite. Oh, all right, let's go and have a look at it. So we went and look at it. We went into the, you know, the Novotel, Portland Street, Manchester. Amen. Went in there and had a look. We had the whole first floor. They sold it to us. You can have the whole first floor. You can have the function suite. Looks all corporate and that. I'm like, yeah, man, upgrade. You know what I mean? A couple of little rooms for the kids. And then there was this little coffee place with a little glass bit that overlooks Portland Street. And we could sit there like a boss. You know what I mean? Drinking cups of tea and all that. The only problem was, it was, I think it was about 7 times more expensive than the gym. Right? In actual fact, to hire it for a few hours on a Sunday cost more than all of our tithes and offerings. Every penny we was getting in tithes and offerings, we didn't have enough to be able to cover the rent of it. And I'm like, oh, well, that's out then. God said, no, that's where I want you to go. So whenever God speaks to me, I listen. One thing I do, I pay attention. Right? I don't ask how. I ask when. And he said, right, I want you to go into it, do it, boom, sign a contract. And I said, all right. Now I'm waiting for him to tell me how. That's how I do it. I'm like, okay, I'm obeying you, God. How do we do it? And then he told me, ask the people. Get them to pay a pledge. You remember that was our first kind of pledge, those of you that was about. We want people to pledge, like, £10, you know, extra, on top of their offering, so that we can get the rent sorted out. It's like 350 quid for 4 hours on a Sunday or something. So we did it. We started packing that place out. And it was good there, man. We used to go there, it was corporate, they used to like us on the desk, we get nice room rates, and you know what I mean? We even went there once, we drove past it once, and outside there's a big red sign, it says Novotel in big red letters, and every light on the letter had gone out except the bit that said VO. It's ours. It's that building. That's where we have church. Look at that. How cool is that? I've even got the picture. You know what I mean? How cool is that? VO. That's the sign. But then God started, you know, we started filling it and we got comfortable. And just as I started thinking we was making it, God said, move. Like, what? We hadn't even been in here long. Move. So I sent the spies out again. Go out. They come back. They said, there's another hotel. We was in our hotel phase. Amen. And you know what God was doing in this phase? God was upgrading our thinking. He was upgrading our expectancy of excellence. He was upgrading us to the point where we weren't going to settle for slum dwellings, second-hand leavings, just make it up and make it do mentality. He wanted us to be in a place where we expected excellence. You want to know why? Ask me why. Because you're an excellent people. And he is an excellent God. And salvation is excellent. And he wants quality. You don't have to be expensive to be quality. I mean, if you can say amen. Amen. And so we went to the Palace Hotel and had a little suite called the Buckingham Suite. And by this time, I guess we had about 70 people in the church. We weren't doing bad, man. You know what I mean? We'd come with just, you know, me, Vicky, and one bloke from the home, from London. And we'd inherited, you know, half a dozen people that were here. And God had expanded us and God was good and things was happening. But to get into this place, this little function suite was in the bowels of the Palace Hotel. It was in a room downstairs that they used for storage. They said, you can have this room on Sunday from 8 in the morning until 5 at night. And I thought, I'm going to negotiate, man. And I got me, Donald Trump head on. Amen. Because I had a bad hair day that day. And I started negotiating. And we even got the business suite rooms thrown in to the same price so that we could go upstairs and all the kids could have rooms. And you know what I mean? And we had tea and coffee and they would set the chairs out and it was cool. But we had to take all of our sound equipment there. We had to set up. And then it started going good, but it had this parquet flooring, you know, the wood flooring? And it had all tiled walls. And every time you'd say something, you'd hear it back about 15 times. So every time I preached, it was like, you know, God was just bearing witness to it with everyone because they heard the message about three times. Because I'd preach it and then I'd go, and the Lord said. And we got in there and we started making it our own. We bought a bit of carpet. Look, we got some carpet. We got new speakers, look. Right? We had some old minibus that kept breaking down, some mangled old thing. Someone gave it to us, I think. We've had a few old monsters, amen. And we used to take the stuff there and we set up. And then God started moving. We had the Thrive concert. Who remembers the Thrive concert? Where we had people come from all over the place. We went out on the streets. We had about 50 or 60 people come from all over the UK up for this week-long crusade. We'd go out, we'd hit the streets, we'd tell people about Jesus. And then at the end of it, we had this concert. And it was all our people. We had Righteous rapping. And I think we had Nicola singing. You know what I mean? Still not gonna bow, still not gonna bow. I think that song was busted. That song, the first time I think she sung it, was out on the streets in Moss Side. We went out, we had an outreach, you remember? I was preaching in a church down there, amen. We used this building, the Church of God of Prophecy. And it was like, no one came, man. And at the end of it, I said, come on. We was meant to be partnering with the church, but none of them come. It was just us and a few people. And I said, at the end of it, I said, right, we're going to go to the streets. Who remembers this? And we went down to Claremont Road. And we took some sound equipment. And we parked up on Claremont Road at about 9 o'clock at night. And we just got out and started testifying. And we started singing. And there was a rapper from Liverpool and Nicola. And all of a sudden she started singing this song. And he was freestyling on the mic. And he was rapping and she was singing. And everyone was coming. And we had all the little gang members come on their little mountain bikes. What happened? You know what I mean? Body armor and all that under their, you know what I mean? Under their SpongeBob SquarePants t-shirt. It's like he's about 9, you know what I mean? He's got body armor on. What's the matter with you, man? You look like you need to be going to bed. It's about that big. He's one of the 0.4 kids that Vicky was talking about. Amen. 2.4 kids. Imagine a 0.4 kid. His name's got to be Arthur. Arthur Kidd. But we was there. Rah! You know what I mean? Come on, you get that one later. Amen. And we had another concert, and then we did the. Here's the Manchester story. Ding, 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 ding. We done dramas, the Manchester story. We had the Manchester story 1, we had the Manchester story 2, we had the Manchester story 3. Amen. But we had the Manchester story there. It was packed. Packed. But throughout it all, we knew that we weren't going to stay just a convenient, casual church people. Just meeting once a week and doing a couple of little things elsewhere. We had the little vision centre over there in Openshaw. It was about as big as this stage. And we'd pack everyone in there and do services and prayer meetings and stuff. We had some great times there. Amen. But it was all the way over the other side of Manchester. And I remember one time we took up some pledges. We had a little brick in the wall. How many of you remember this? And you'd buy a brick in the wall. This was our building fund pledge. And one day we're going to get a building. One day we're going to have our own place. And then one day I came into church and just stood on the platform flinging up a bunch of keys. Ching, ching, ching. It's like something out of Warriors or something. Ching, ching. Everyone's looking at me like, what's he doing now? You know what I mean? Nutty pastor. I said, we got a building. It's a bit bigger than a speaker.
We didn't realize how big, how much bigger than a speaker it was going to be. Because from 200 people that we were probably having at the Palace Hotel, we came here, and within 2 months, 100 of them had left. And just when all of a sudden we needed to upgrade our giving, it was a massive step of faith, 10 grand a month we had to find to pay for everything. All of a sudden our income halved. And there's times when you have to say to yourself, have I missed God? Have I missed God? And you have to be honest. And I'll be honest with you, there was a time when I thought I'd missed God. Especially when I was being crushed with the pressure, financial pressure, of finding an extra £5,000 a month just to stay in business, on top of our giving, on top of our offerings. There's been times I've wanted to dig up my balaclava, let me tell you. You know what I mean? There's times I've wanted to go out there and do some Holy Ghost bank robberies. You know what I mean? And God would say, no, trust me. So we trusted him. Every time he'd come through. Every time he'd come through. And people here would give and they'd become sacrificial. Because what happened was, when we moved that last time to the place where we are now, where we're building for the next phase, all the casual Christians cut out. All the convenient Christians cut out. And we had the core that was left. And God always uses a remnant. It reminds me of Gideon. When Gideon was going to fight an army and he had a certain amount of men, and God said, get them to drink some water, and the ones that lap it like a dog, send them home. But the ones that pick it up in their hand and drink from their hand, the ones that are watchful, the ones that are they're on it, they're switched on, they're the ones I'm going to use. And God always uses a little remnant of hardcore people that are switched on, that have got the right heart. Amen. How many people like that we got in the house? So God started to build. And I remember we had nothing. We had no carpet. We had no platform. I remember we had nothing. Hallelujah. Look at that. Praise the Lord. I remember I didn't even have a drink. Look how God provides. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Needed that. And so we come forward. I remember we was... Am I going on too long? Are you interested in this? I'm coming to a point. We had our men's home over there in Oddsall. Beautiful little village. Amen. Near Salford Keys. Oddsall-sur-la-Mer. Nice little village. Exclusive. Amen. So exclusive, even the police wouldn't go there. And we had our amazing little times there with petrol bombs and knives and, you know what I mean, madness and lunatics and gangs. And I met some interesting characters and we had some interesting things. And then we was going to buy the building for the men's home, and the council, you know, sold it to developers. Council bought it and doubled our offer, and it was all madness because they wanted to sell it to developers. And we had nowhere for a home. And then a friend of mine who's a Christian businessman, he said to me, we'd been working on one of his properties. They've got several properties in Salford. We'd helped him to do it up. And he said to me, one day I'm going to rent this property to you. You're going to have it for a home. So it gave us an incentive to go in there and do some papering and painting and clearing. And, you know, we was helping him out. And it took ages. And then it got to the point where I said to him, right, bruv, we're out of this gaff now. We're going to need this place. You know, we want to rent it now. I know you've been working on it. He's done everything in it. New plumbing, new electrics, new plastering, fire alarms and all that. He said, I'm not going to rent it to you no more. Now, I'm a pastor, so I've had a few slaps. You know, I've had a few disappointments. He said to me, I'm not going to rent it to you anymore. I went, oh, come on, man. Come on, what's the matter with you? Come on, you said you was going. He said, no, God told me not to rent it to you. What am I going to do then? You know, God said, what am I going to say? No, he never. No, he never. Sometimes I say that. But he said, no, God told me to sell it to you. I was like, shut up, we ain't got two bob. We ain't got a penny. What do you mean sell it to us? Who's going to, you know what I mean? What am I going to do, sell me kidney? That was when I started getting the idea of selling me kidney. What am I going to do, sell me kidney or something, you know what I mean, on eBay, get a deposit? He said, no, he said, it's already sorted.
Went, what? He said, I've spoke to the bank manager. He said, I've sorted you out a mortgage. He said, I said, how? He said, well, the house is worth 140 grand. I'm going to sell it to you for 100. He said, the bank is going to take the 40 grand that it's worth on top of what I'm selling it to you in lieu of a deposit and all sorts of these, you know, financial gymnastics going on. He said, all you've got to do is prove to the bank manager that you can pay the mortgage. He said, and it's a done deal. Are you up for it? We didn't have any men. I didn't even have an home director. We didn't have any money. I said, yeah. Listen, check this out. So we're there, we're meeting in Oddsall. The bank manager's phoned up, I want to come down and meet you at your place. Okay. I said to him, but park in Regent's Retail Park and we'll walk you over. Don't park outside, you'll come out and your car will be gone. Oh, okay. So they parked up in Sainsbury's and then we walked him across. Already you're thinking this ain't going well. So we've walked in, there was me, there was Fiona. Who else was there? Vicky was there. Pastor Deji, I think, was there. Pastor Khachan, was Pastor Mitchell there? No. So there was just us, man. And we had this bit of handwritten paper of how we were going to pay the mortgage. We're like, I'm thinking, this is mad. There is no bank manager in his right mind is going to give people like us a mortgage for 100 grand to buy a building to put a load of junkies in. It just ain't going to work. So we're sitting there, I'm thinking, how's this going to work, Lord? So the bank manager's come in, we've had a cup of tea, sat down, done all the polite stuff. We sat down getting ready to do business. And he said, do you mind if we pray first? The bank manager asked if we could pray before we had the meeting. There's a God, right? So we pray. And then we're stumbling along trying to work out what we're talking about. And he's prompting us. Oh no, don't you mean this? We're like, oh yeah, yeah. It's exactly what we meant. And he said, what about this? We said, we're going to do this. He went, no, don't you mean this? And we went, yeah, that's it. It's like, you're reading my mind. And in the end, they gave us the mortgage. And we own the men's home. And then when we moved in here, we had nothing. God spoke to me. I was at court for someone. I went to court for someone. I'm like, God, what are we doing? Why are we even here in Salford? Why are we here in this building? What are you doing? You know, I'm struggling. I'm under stress. I can't sleep. I can't, you know, I'm under pressure all the time. I can't do anything. I can't even preach. I can't even think to preach. I'm just under pressure for money all the time. You know, I've got to get the legalities done. I've got to get the lawyers involved. I've got to get this. I've got to get that. We've got to have this insurance, that insurance, lights. We've got to do this. We've got to, you know, architects, business plans, building regulations. All I want to do is preach the gospel. So I'm stressed, man. 3 years. I'm getting ready to quit. Then I went to court and I'm representing someone in court, giving them a character reference. And I'm sitting there in court and I got me Bible out and I started reading my Bible and I turned to Leviticus. Who reads Leviticus? Honestly, unless you have to, you know what I mean? It's part of a building, part of a reading plan. It's not something you flick to, is it? It's normally like the Psalms or, you know, or the New Testament, you know, the Gospels or something. You know, something's going to bless me. Not, you know, thou shalt not eat fish and wear two types of garment and, why is that? I opened it up, read this scripture in Leviticus, and it said, when you come into a land and you plant trees for fruit, for the first 3 years, remember we've been here 3 years, for the first 3 years you shall consider their fruit uncircumcised. You shall not touch it. But in the fourth year, it shall be a praise unto God. And then in the fifth year, you shall reap the harvest. And you shall be blessed thereof. Leviticus 19, chapter 19, verse 23 through 25. And I'm reading it, and all of a sudden, I've got a revelation. We've been going through the process. We've been going through the pruning. We've been going through the sharpening. We've been going through the testing. Now God's going to start to bless us. And so I came back, and I started then to put plans into place that we're starting to see come now, 5 years on.
This is the fifth year that we've been in this building. So I started to plan. And I started to plan for growth. I started to plan that we were going to have more homes. Started to plan and believe God that we were not just going to have a little men's home, we were going to have a few men's homes, we were going to have women's homes, we were going to have second phase facilities, we're going to have discipleship homes, we're going to have that. That's going to come to pass. Started to plan for that. What do we need to put into place for that? Well, we need to put this into place, that into place. I really want to work with the colleges. I really want to get us, you know, some stuff so that the men and the women come out and they get, you know, they get qualifications, that they go into jobs. I want to work with housing people. I want us so that we've got businesses that we can start, businesses that we can run, things that we can put into place so that men and women can come through and they can come out into something better. And then also ministerially, I want us to build the ministers. I want us to have more ministers. I want us to take on more staff. I want us to teach leaders. I want us to train people. I want us to bring in, I want us to upgrade. I want the quality. I want this facility to be a place that one day corporate people are going to want to use it. That one day the council are going to want to use it when they have meetings. One day the NHS are going to want to use it. The police are going to want to use it. One day the hotel next door for a business conference is going to want to use it. One day the other people are going to see the quality of what it is that this ragtag old bunch of people that get together and just come and love God. One day they're going to see the quality that can actually be put into place because of the quality of the God that we serve. One day that God's fame is going to be shared abroad because people are going to see, they're going to walk in, they're going to go, wow, that's amazing. How did you do that? What have you got in rich people in? No, normal people. People that come from all different backgrounds. We've got all different nationalities. We've got people from everywhere that come, and they come for one thing, one cause, to serve Jesus Christ, and he's done it, and he's blessed us. And they'll see the homes, and they'll go, wow, look amazing. But they'll also, we'll also say, yeah, and this is Sister So-and-so. She's got a master's in this. And this is Dr. So-and-so. And this is Dr. Such-and-such. And this is a teacher from this school. And this is a business owner. He does this. And this is this woman. She has this qualification. Oh, she's a midwife. Oh, yeah, he's in the care. Oh, yeah, he's a professional. Oh, yeah, she's in university. Oh, yeah, she runs this. He does that. And they're going to go, wow! It's amazing! Who is this God you serve? So we started putting things into place. And we started to upgrade. Take that room out. Do this, do that. Add this, add that. Do this, do that. Do this, do that. Leadership training, leadership training, leadership training. Equipping, teams, building, ministries, quality, excellence. Now we're here. Now you go anywhere in this city and you ask normal Christians, not the psychopathic, fundamental, lunatic ones who think everyone except them is not saved. Normal Christians, you ask them about Victory Outreach, we've got a good testimony. Because they know that our people serve God, man. You go anywhere and you ask the police, they'll say, yeah, man, you do a good job. The courts, you do a good job. The council, you do a good job. The social services, they're sending people to us to get turkeys this Christmas. What a wonderful job you do. We don't know what we would have done for these people. Thank you for the work that you're doing. That's where we're at. But where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Well, next year we're going double services. So we're going to have two Sunday services. Come to both to start off with, because we might have to pack them out a little bit. Amen. But one day, you're only going to be able to fit into one, because they're both going to be full. In fact, we'll probably have to go three if we can fit them in. We'll do three services before we leave this building. We'll be looking at upwards of probably about 700 or 800 people coming to this church. And then by then, we'll be able to make the move and get a bigger building. I'm already looking at one, and 3 million is just a number. Amen. I just look at the three. I leave the zeros to God. I can handle the three. God can handle the zeros. Come on now. Amen. That's how I stay sane in this thing. Three, no problem. Million, that's you, God. That's your end. Amen. But we're going to have tremendous things take place. And it's because of you. Because you're an excellent people.
You serve an excellent God. There's nothing impossible for him. This scripture I want to leave you with, this is the scripture for the season, as far as I'm concerned. It's Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 and 3. You know it, but I'm going to read it out in the New Living Translation. And it says this: enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations. Some of you don't think that you're going to stay in Manchester, because it might be we send you out. You might be the next pastor in Ghana. You might be the next pastor in Jamaica. In the islands. Huh? Trinidad and Tobago. Eh? You never know, man. And then it says, your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. So I want you to stand with me right now, and I want to ask you this question. How many of you are ready to grow? You will never grow by accident. Well, you can grow fat by accident, but you can't grow fit by accident. I've been fit and I've been fat. I didn't mean to get fat. It was by accident. I didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to start getting fat now. I just fancy it. But to get fit, you have to wake up and you have to go, you know what? I'm going to go for a run. I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to start training. I'm going to start pressing in. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to endure. I'm going to grow. I'm going to go through. I'm going to keep going even when I don't want to go. I'm going to keep pressing in even when I don't want to do it. I'm going to endure it if I have to until one day hopefully I enjoy it. Hallelujah. But I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pressing because I want to grow, because I know that God is a God of progress and he don't want me to stay the same. He don't want me just to be an ex this. He don't want me to be someone that just creeps in through the door. Someone that's just happy to just stand around. There is a plan that he has for my life. There is work that he has for me to do. I was saved for a reason. I was not saved just for a season. I was saved for eternity for a reason. And I want to do that. I want to see God move. I want to be everything that he created me to be. And you might be young right now. You might be in your 20s. You might still have another 50 or 60 years in front of you. And that's a wonderful thing that you got in so early. You might be in your 50s and it ain't over yet. Hallelujah. You might still be thinking, all of my life, what has it been for? It has been for such a time as this, my friend. It has been for right now, because God wants to use you right now. He wants to use you in your community, in your family. He wants to use you to do his will and reach out to other people that are like you, that have been where you're at, with the same message that God used to reach you. Are you ready to grow though? Are you ready to do it? Are you ready for the adventure? Are you ready to spread out? Are you ready to stretch out? The last thing. I know you'll ask this. Where do I fit? Where do I fit in all that? You fit in where you're meant to be. But I'm too small, I ain't got this, I ain't got that, no one sees me. Listen, whenever you sit down at night and you watch your flat screen, plasma, 3D, LCD, smart TV, whatever it is, you see that crystal clear picture, it could be a 42 inch, a 50 inch, a 60 inch, whatever it is. You look at that crystal clear picture, that is made up of little individual pixels. And if some of them pixels weren't working, the picture would be rubbish. You'd notice. All of those pixels individually think they're small and unnoticed. Together, when they fit into the big picture, what a picture. So where do I fit? Well, I'm young, I don't see any opportunity. Well, I'm a mother, I don't see opportunity. Well, I'm a father, I don't see opportunity. Well, I'm a single, I don't see opportunity. Whatever. There's opportunity. Otherwise, God wouldn't have brought you here. And if we ain't got the ministry in place right now, then start it. Start it. Get involved in it. Because God is a God of progression. So where do you fit? You fit right where God wants you to fit. And you belong in that place. Come, close your eyes. I want to pray for you right now. And then when I've prayed for you, I want you to begin to pray for us. All of us, together. Because together we're going to see this thing go forward. And one day, might be soon, you'll be proud to be able to say you were a part of what God did in that time, in that place. I remember I was there when God poured out his spirit, when the souls were getting saved and the lives were being changed. I was there and I was a part of it. So Heavenly Father, I pray for every single soul in this place, those that are here present, those that are not here present. Lord God, the people that you've called, the people that you're calling, the people that you will call. My God, I pray, Lord, your favor. We need that more than anything. We need you, your presence and your favor is worth more to us than gold or silver. Lord, your favor, your grace. We need you. And we know that by your grace, we can achieve anything. With your presence, we can achieve anything. Because at the end of the day, the results are not down to us. You just want us to turn up. You just want us to trust. You just want us to obey. You want us to think bigger than we are. You want us to think further than where we're at. You want us to see what it is you have in store. So Master, in this place, Holy Spirit, touch every heart, every soul, every person here. May everyone find dignity, find belonging, and find destiny so that your name will be glorified. Bless us. Enlarge our territory. May your hand be with us. Keep us from evil, keep evil from us, that we may be blessed and that we may be a blessing to others. Come on, begin to pray for the future right now. Just begin to pray for the future right now. Begin to pray for the future right now. Let him blow your mind. Let him enlarge your heart. Let him enlarge your territory. Anything is possible. You could start up a youth football team. You could have a Christian netball team. You could have a mother's ministry. You could have a ministry for single parents. You can have a ministry involved with reaching out to visit people. One day we could hook up with people, so at Christmas we're not just giving out turkeys, but we're giving bikes to kids. We're giving toys to kids. One day there could be a housing ministry. One day there could be a hospitality ministry where there is their own hospitality team. That one day we could be having functions and weddings. One day that we could be hosting different places in here. And we're still reaching out to men and women. We're still reaching out to the broken. But we're also reaching out to the media people in Media City. We're reaching out to the police. We're reaching out to all different types of people, the medical profession. We're reaching out to people with the message of hope and the plan of Jesus Christ. And that here in this church, that we don't care where you come from. We care where you're going. But you can only get there through Jesus. And in everything, in all things, praise you that it is by your grace that we have been saved. Father, through faith. And
And this is not of ourselves. This is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. But we also believe and we thank you that we are your masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that you have set out before us for us to walk in. There is a place for us to belong. There is a place for you to fit in. There is a place for your family, for your sons and your daughters, for your brothers and your sisters, for your mother and your father, yes, and even your granddad and your nan, that they can come in and that they can find a place to fit in and be blessed and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Come and lift up your hands right now. Let's sing that song again, Amazing Grace. Hallelujah. Come on, Denise, come back. Abby, come on, some of you girls. Get up here, you're a cappella in it right now. Come on. It's grace, isn't it? Hallelujah. And we're going to sing that song, Amazing Grace. I know I've gone on a bit longer than I thought, but I want you to catch this, that 2014 is going to be a very, very, very interesting year. It's going to be a very interesting year. I don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be good things and bad things, because we live in a world that is not as good as God wants it to be. You're going to have good things, bad things, and ugly things happen in your life. But how many of you know, throughout it all, God's going to draw you closer to Him. He's going to release you in places that you never ever thought you'd ever be. You're going to meet people you never ever thought you'd ever meet. You're going to expand your vision. You're going to expand everyone that you know, everyone. Hallelujah. Let's just sing it a cappella. Let's sing it a cappella. Because I want everyone in the church just to sing Amazing Grace. Come on.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Praise God, praise God.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God,
Christmas, let's sing that. Oh, come, let us adore Him.
Oh, come, let us.
It's Christmas,
adore
sir.
Him.
It's nearly done.
Oh, come, let
us. New Year is on its way.
Let us adore.
do. We give you all the glory.
For he alone,
yes,
is worthy.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Come on, someone shout.
We're just going to take a few minutes and pray for Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. Can somebody help Sister Vicky up, please? They've taken us through a journey of the church up till now. We're going to commit as a church to uplift them as pastors. There's a big difference between a pastor and a leader, and thank God we have them both as pastors and leaders. The trip to a memory that they spoke about, I remember joining. I've said this, some of you have probably heard. When I joined this church all those years ago, in the first place, we were paying £1 a year. £1 a year for the building we had. It was a step of faith, each step of the way, to £50 a week, £250 a week, £500 a week, to where we are now. Like Sister Vicky said, God prepares us for where he's taking us to. We're going to pray now. Stretch out your hands. Leaders, please come up and join and pray for them. And just pray the wisdom of God, the protection of God, the guidance of God over them as they continue to lead us as pastors over this church into the next year. God has brought us a long way under their leadership. In the 10 years they've been here, it's been a step of faith each step of the way. Like Pastor said, obedience. Not knowing, having the full picture, but in obedience. So let's pray for the wisdom of God, the protection of God, the provision of God, the blessings of God over their lives. Most especially the presence of God over them, the presence of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you. We thank for Pastor Paul, for Sister Vicky. Thank you, Father, for how far you have brought them, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies they have in you, Lord. Thank you for the experiences you have had in you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for what you have done in them, oh Lord. That you have done for them and that you are doing through them. Jehovah God, we lift them up before your throne of grace. Pastor Paul, we lift him up before your throne of grace, Father God. As a man of the house, as a pastor, Father God, over our church, oh Lord, over the man over his family, Father God, the head over his family, over the church. Father, your blessings, oh Lord. Your blessings by day, by night, Father God. When he calls upon you, my God, Father, answer him, oh Lord. Show him amazing things, things he cannot even begin to imagine, oh Lord. While he's yet speaking, oh Lord, make yourself known, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. As he walks in obedience, Father God, he shall never be put to shame, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you'll always show yourself strong and faithful, even on you, on his behalf, Lord God Almighty. Father God, greater and mighty things, oh Lord, greater things than this, oh Lord, he shall see yet, Father God. As he continues to trust in you, look to you, Father God, he shall continue to satisfy every need, oh Lord. Show yourself strong on his behalf, Lord. Oh, we thank for Sister Vicky. Thank Father for the support she has been, oh Lord. For the strength, oh Lord. For the encouragement and the help, oh Lord. We pray, Father God, the country to bless her, Lord. In her own ministry, even Father God, as a support, oh Lord, as a wife, oh Lord. As a mother to the church, oh Lord. You bless her, Lord. Life, health, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, as their days, so shall their strength increase. In the name of Jesus Christ. In all things good, Father God. For Lily Grace, for Thomas, oh Lord. Father God, our children shall be taught by God, and great will be the peace of their lives. They shall never regret these children, O Lord. Shall never weep over these children, Lord. They shall do amazing things. Father God, we declare that this family is for signs and for wonders, O Lord. Signs and wonders, O Lord. So much more than we can ask, O Lord. You're able to do, Lord. And as a church, as a body, we commit, O Lord, to pray for them daily, to lift them up before your throne of grace, O Lord. For wisdom, for guidance, for leadership, O Lord. Bless them now, O Lord. Bless them, Lord, abundantly, Lord, in money and what money cannot buy. Bless them, O Lord. Give them your peace, Lord God Almighty. Give them your joy at all times, O Lord. Be present with them, O Lord. The gift of your presence, O Lord. Your presence at all times, O Lord. Leading them, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Well, you can be dismissed, but there's a little bit of food and some nibbles and that. Just have a little nibble and just get to know a few people. And, you know, just spend a little bit of time. And then come on Sunday. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful service. It's going to be really, really good. We're going to get people from the community. Also, one more last thing. If you know of anyone, listen to me very quickly. If you know of anyone that is really struggling this Christmas and could really do with a turkey, amen, then please get in touch with Tanya or Tash and recommend someone, and then we can get them a turkey sorted out for Sunday as well. They'll tell you how to do it. All right, God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Nothing. rise with us. Come on.
In the sanctuary, oh Lord,
we adore you,
giving you the highest praise.
And with our song,
yeah, we come to
forever and ever.
Great and great need to be.
We lift up our hands,
in the sanctuary, oh Lord,
we adore you,
giving you the highest praise.
And with our song,
we come to
forever
and ever.
Promises, yeah.